Today, I want to talk about Social Security. Social Security is a gigantic program. It's the largest single category of federal outlays. In 1950, Social Security was only 2% of federal spending. In 2000, it was 20% of federal spending. So when I was growing up, Social Security wasn't nearly as gigantic as it is today. It's just a monster today. And as big as it is today, the baby boom is still to come. That is, the people who were born from 1946 to 1964 haven't even begun to retire yet. And when they retire, Social Security will get even bigger. Another indicator of how big Social Security is that for most Americans, the Social Security tax is the largest tax that they pay. Close to half of Americans pay no income tax at all. I think the bottom 50% of taxpayers pay account for less than 3 or 4% of the income tax. So a lot of Americans hardly pay any income taxes, but almost just about every American worker is paying Social Security taxes. Moreover, the Social Security tax is larger than it appears, at least from an employee's perspective. That is, the way the payroll tax works legally is that as a worker, you pay half of it, you pay your 6.7% or whatever, and the employer pays the other half. But economics tells us that you really pay all of it. Remember that an employer can only pay you as much compensation as you produce. So if the employer has to pay more in payroll taxes, they're going to have to cut back on your take-home pay in order to match that with what you produce. That is, if what you produce is $50 an hour and they have to pay $10 an hour in Social Security taxes, then that leaves them that much left to give you in take-home pay. So economic theory and studies show that the actual incidence, as we call it, the actual impact of the employer's contribution is the same as your contribution. So it doesn't matter whether you pay the money or the employer pays the money. Ultimately, it comes out of your take-home pay as a worker. So the employer's payroll tax falls on workers, which means that nearly 15% of workers' money goes into Social Security taxes. The biggest myth about Social Security is that Social Security is a pension plan. Many people, especially old people, believe that the money that they have paid into Social Security is like money that they've accumulated for a pension, and that the money that they're getting out of Social Security relates to the money that they put into it. That would be true if Social Security were a pension plan, but Social Security is not a pension plan. Let me talk about what types of pension plans there are so we can understand how pension plans work and then how they differ from Social Security. One difference in pension plans is pension plans that pay you a lump sum versus that pay you an insured annuity. A lump sum means that when you retire, you get a fixed amount of money, let's say $200,000, and that's your pension. You don't get any more payments. You get one lump sum and it's done. With an insured annuity, you get a certain amount every year. So instead of $200,000 as a lump sum, you might be paid $20,000 a year for the rest of your life. Now, I call that an insured annuity because it differs from a regular annuity as follows. When we're doing the annuity calculations, if we said that you have $200,000 and we said, well, suppose you live for exactly 15 years, at an interest rate of X percent, how much could you spend? Those were the types of calculations we were doing in annuity calculations. You notice we said, assume you live exactly 15 years, but you don't know how long you're going to live. And so there's the uncertainty of if you die early and you're taking money out at a particular rate, you'll end up with excess money left over. Or if you live longer than you expected, then you'll run out of money. So to avoid this problem of running out of money, especially, or of ending up with excess, well, I guess you almost can't help but end up with excess, but to avoid running out of money, you buy insurance on an annuity. That is, you go to a life insurance company. The life insurance company takes a lot of people and pulls them together and says, well, on average, this group of people will live 15 years. Some of them will live longer, some will live shorter. We'll give them all the 15-year annuity, and we'll make a profit on the people who die early, and we'll make a loss on the people who live too long. But the people themselves won't bear the risk. The insurance company will bear the risk. And of course, the insurance company will take a fee for bearing the risk. So that would be an insured annuity. So that means that you get the payment that you would get if you lived exactly the average number of years that you're expected to live, regardless of how long you live. So if you die early, the insurance company makes a profit. If you live longer than your actuarial expectation, then the insurance company takes the loss, but you don't run out of money. So that's an insured annuity. So there are really two types of pension plans, those that pay a lump sum and those that provide an insured annuity. Another distinction between pension plans is defined contribution versus defined benefit. In a defined contribution plan, you put your money into a pension. Let's say you work for a company and they take some of your salary and set it aside and they invest that money. And then whatever your contributions are worth when you retire, that's what determines your benefit when you retire. So if you take your contributions and the earnings on the investment from the contributions, then that can convert when you retire either into a lump sum or an insured annuity, depending on how the pension plan works. That's defined contribution. It takes your money and invests it, and whatever happens with that money and the investment is what you have when you retire. With a defined benefit plan, you get a promised benefit based on how many years you work and what your salary was and so on. It does not depend on particular contributions. The company sets aside money from your salary to pay the defined benefit, but there's not quite a direct connection between your contributions and your benefits. So the company fixes the benefits, and those benefits are fixed regardless of how much you contribute or how the investment works with what you contribute. So a defined benefit plan is a riskier plan for the company to offer. First of all, it faces investment risk. If it takes the money that it sets aside for the pension and invests it badly, it still promised you the defined benefit, and so it has to make up the difference. The other thing that the company faces is actuarial risk. That is, if its employees live a lot longer than expected, especially if the company's offering insured annuity, then those defined benefits become more expensive than what was anticipated. Reserves play an important role in defined benefit plans. That is, what a company will do for defined benefit plans is, as workers accumulate the rights to benefits to future pensions, the company has to set aside reserves to pay those benefits, and it has to invest that money wisely in order to be able to pay the benefits. So reserves play a critical role in making defined benefit pension plans work. But the reality is that defined benefit pension plans where the benefits are not perfectly connected to contributions, as in defined contribution plans. Defined benefit plans are risky. Defined benefits plans have been known to fail. They've been known to bankrupt companies, and people have lost those defined benefit plans or had them bailed out by the government. Okay, so now we come to Social Security. Social Security is not a lump sum. It's paid out as an insured annuity, so that's one characteristic of it. Another characteristic of it is it's a defined benefit plan, that it's the risky kind. Rather than defined contribution, it's not based on your payments are not based on your contributions. They're based on a set of rules based on how long you've worked and your pattern of earnings. So it's a defined benefit plan. It is not tied to contributions. Even worse, unlike all private pension plans, Social Security does not have reserves. Social Security is just paid out of taxes. In effect, Social Security is a transfer program from workers to retirees. So if Social Security had reserves, it would be a defined benefit insured annuity plan, which is still very risky, which is still the government would be bearing a lot of the risk. But it's even worse than that because there are no reserves at all, and so it ends up being just a transfer program from workers to retirees. So one of the myths, and I can't stress this enough, about Social Security is that it's a pension plan. It is not a pension plan. It is a transfer program from workers to retirees. It looks a bit like an insured annuity, defined benefit pension plan, but it is not. Okay, given that it's a transfer program from workers to retirees, then a key ratio in getting this to work is the number of workers per retiree. You see, in a real pension plan, you would put the money in, and then your money would get paid out. And so it wouldn't matter how many people were born in a given generation, or how many workers there were, or how many other people retire. It's just your money and how it gets invested, and that determines what the pension plan will pay you. But with Social Security being a transfer program from workers to retirees, the number of workers per retiree at any given point in time affects the viability of Social Security. Basically, when there are a lot of workers per retiree, then you can transfer money from workers to retiree at very little average cost per worker. The more workers there are to spread the cost around, and the fewer retirees you have to pay, the easier it is to make Social Security work. The fewer workers per retiree, the bigger the burden on any given worker. Okay, so what has happened and what is going to happen to the ratio of workers per retiree? Well, in 1950, in the United States, there were more than 6 workers per retiree. So the cost of Social Security paying Social Security to one retired person was being spread across 6 workers. In 2000, we were down to 4.7 workers per retiree. By 2025, late in the baby boom period, there will be fewer than 3 workers per retiree. Moreover, that ratio will stay low thereafter. It won't bounce back after the baby boom retirement bulge because people are living longer and having fewer children. So in the US, it will stay at 3 workers for several decades thereafter, 3 workers per retiree. So compared to 1950, there will be half as many workers per retiree. So to maintain a given level of benefits, you have to double the burden on each worker. Now, in Japan and Western Europe, the situation is even worse, because their populations have started to turn down even before the United States did. In some European countries, population is actually declining. The birth rate is below the replacement rate. So the crisis begins sooner and goes deeper. Already today in Japan and Western Europe, there are fewer than 3 workers per retiree. And so the tax burden to support retirees is high, the tax on labor is high, and we're seeing higher unemployment rates in those countries as a result of the tax being so high, the tax on labor. Furthermore, by 2035, they'll be down to fewer than 2 workers per retiree. So, as high as the tax burden is today, there'll have to be a 50% higher tax burden in 2035 to maintain their Social Security benefits. So, Japan and Western Europe are facing the crisis sooner, and it's going to be much worse for them. One way to see that they're facing the crisis is that their budget deficits are even worse relative to GDP than the United States, and their budget deficits just threaten to get worse as the years go ahead. So Social Security, because it's not a pension plan, because it depends on this ratio of workers per retiree, is in crisis everywhere in the world. That's it.